good evening. Good to see you tonight. As people are coming in, we are going to begin our service here in the sanctuary this evening. And we're going to start out with worship. You've got some wonderful people up here ready to lead you in worship tonight. So let's all stand. And we're just going to praise God. How is that? Is that okay? All right, good. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a wonderful day. Lord, as we move toward the end of another Texas summer, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would just guide us and lead us in the rest of this year. Lord, we ask you that you would fall in this place tonight by your Spirit and have your will and your way in my life and in the lives of the people that are here. Father, we just declare your lordship over us. Your lordship over us. And we thank you for your goodness and the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we seek you tonight. We seek you with all of our heart. Lord, we need you and want you in this place. And so, Father, open up the windows of heaven. Open up this door in heaven that John saw, Lord, and let us see into the throne room this evening. And let us fellowship with you. And we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Let's worship.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. And on it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, show that God is love and God is just. At the cross you beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love, I am sweetly broken, wholly surrendered, wholly surrendered. What a priceless gift. Priceless gift, an undeserved life. Oh, have I been given through Christ crucified? You called me out of death, and you called me into life. I was under your wrath. Now through the cross I'm reconciled. At the cross you beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love, I am sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. At the cross you beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love, I am sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. Beckon me, draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I am sweetly broken, wholly surrendered at the cross. You beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I am sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. Oh, we're wholly surrendered. We're wholly surrendered. Oh, and we are sweetly broken, wholly surrendered.
Sing sweetly broken one more time. At the cross.
At the cross you beckon me. Draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I am sweetly broken, wholly surrendered.
Surrender completely to you tonight, God. We surrender completely to you tonight, Jesus.
Thank you. full of patience and overflowing with grace. You won't grow weary. No, you'll never tire at all. And I so need you in this moment of beautiful surrender. You hold my head up when it has reason to fall, beside still waters or in the midst of it all. You call me softly as you come running to me. And I so need you in this moment of beautiful surrender. Oh, I need you here. I need you now. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're so beautiful to me, Jesus. You go before me, you make my pathway straight. You're full of patience and overflowing with grace. You won't grow weary, and no, you'll never tire. So beautiful to me, Jesus. You're so beautiful to me. Yeah, you're so beautiful to me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're beautiful. We worship you. You are beautiful to me.
I give you praise, honor, and glory. Lord, truly when we see you, Father, we see a beauty like we've not known on this earth. Oh God, because of who you are and the power and the love and the anointing that you carry, Lord, we honor you and praise you and exalt you in this place. And Lord, our declaration over us, Father God, is that we would serve you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, that we would follow you without any reservation and obey you, Lord. And in that way, our trust would be seen in you, God. So, Father, transform me. Transform me, Lord, into the image of your dear Son. Begin to pray over yourself. Father, I'm just asking you to help me fulfill my destiny to become more like you. Lord, I thank you that you're Jehovah. Lord, you're the God who sanctifies me, oh God. You're the God who sanctifies me, oh Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you that you're working in my life. You're changing me and moving in me, oh God. And at that same time that you're working on me, I'm eternally secure in you, God. And I give you praise, honor, and glory. Thanks, for you alone are worthy. Let's just worship him. You alone are worthy, oh God. You alone. You are worthy, Father. You are worthy in Jesus' name. You are worthy. We exalt you, Father. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory, honor, and praise, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, now in this place tonight, I submit my heart to you. Open my ears so that I might hear from you. And Lord, I just pray that your will would be done in me. And I give you glory, honor, and thanks. In the precious name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. 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 Well, you may be seated for just a second. Father, we thank you. We thank you. Here in a minute, we're going to pray for one another. I want to take an opportunity here in just a second for us to just reach out to each other and be the hand of God extended. I want to welcome you here tonight. It's good to have you here with us in the house of the Lord. We are going to release our Bible studies that are going on here in just a second. And as we're doing that, we're just going to give to the Lord. Okay? And so as we release, you can just come up. If you have something you're going to give to God, just drop it in the buckets. Or if you need help with one of the guys, they'll wave at them. They'll help you walking up and down the aisle. Or if you need an envelope for a cash gift. And tonight, we're going to, I know Axis is starting back up tonight, and they're small groups, and we've got several Bible studies going on. So as you guys worship the Lord together, I just pray you'll be blessed. Okay? So let's just thank God. Father, I want to thank you that you have entrusted me as a steward with things in my life. Lord, I don't own anything. Everything that I have belongs to you, including my very own life, for you bought me at a price, and I'm not my own. So, Lord, I know that I'm going to give an account for my stewardship someday before you as to how I not only use the gifts that you have placed into my life, but everything that you put in my life. I'm going to give an account. And Father, this is a fresh and a brand new day. Lord, if people haven't done what they needed to do before now, this is a new day, God. And Father, we just pray, Lord, as we choose to seek you and do what your word says regarding what you have entrusted to us, we know that as we follow you, you're going to bless us. But more than anything else, the kingdom of God is going to expand. And we give you glory that we can be a part of that in Jesus' precious name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Well, after you've given, if you're going out to a Bible study, you're welcome. Feel free to go. And then as everybody has moved out, we're going to pray for each other here in just a second. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What I'd like to do before we do anything else now is I would like us to take a moment to pray for each other. So I know you just sat down, but why don't you find somebody that's close to you, somebody that, you know, you feel comfortable with, and maybe if you don't know anybody, well, this will be a moment for you to be able to get to know someone. And let's get paired off, okay? And let's pray for each other, and let's just let God move and comfort people tonight and touch them at the point of their need. Okay, so you're feel free now. Go around, grab somebody, and let's pray, and let's just seek the Lord on behalf of each other. The Bible says that we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay? So let's do that. All right. Somebody right in the back there doesn't have a partner. There you go. Just begin to tell one another what you need. Tom, Howard, did you get with Tom right there? I see right here, Howard. Right there, man. All right, my dear Father, we love you and honor you and thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to love on each other. I really do, Lord. I praise you for that. Thank you that we're not walking this pathway by ourselves. Thank you that you've given us people to walk with. And Lord, as we're here in this place tonight, my desire, Lord, for all of us, for Steve and Robin and myself, Lord, those of us that are up here, Lord, that you would just do whatever you want to do in our lives, Father God. I thank you for these wonderful people you've put in my life, and I'm asking you to multiply your presence to them, your mercy and your grace. I thank you that you're a good Father, and I pray you'll reveal your goodness to them, oh God. I thank you that you love us enough to say stop, Lord, when we're moving in a direction we don't need to go. Lord, I pray that you'll keep me on a short leash, oh God. Keep me, Lord, listening closely to you. Don't let me do things, oh God, that would cause pain to my family, to my friends, to my brothers and sisters in Christ. God, I'm asking you that you would heal our souls and our bodies and our minds. Lord, free us from the bondages of the past, oh God. Father, the past is the past, but God, help us to leave the parts of it that are unhealthy behind us. And let us reach forward to the things that lie ahead. For God, you have good things in store for us. And Lord, I thank you that your plan for us is for good and not for evil. So Lord, I embrace that plan today. I embrace it for myself and this church. I embrace it for the staff. I embrace it for every church member, their wives and their children. And God, we just look to Jesus. And we believe that you've begun this thing and you'll finish it. And you're going to finish it in glory. And we thank you, Lord God, that your promises will never fail. And that you're not a man that you can lie or change your mind. And God, I put my faith in your word. Because your word, Lord, you see the Bible says you've exalted your word above your name. And so, God, I thank you that your word is my sure rock that I stand on. And, Lord, that you have brought us here and you for a purpose. And you, I just speak yes to that purpose. It will not fail. And, Lord, we glorify your holy name in my heart and my desire for me, for Robin and Steve and all of us, Lord, that have appeared. Lord, I'm mine. For everybody that's in the congregation, my desire, Lord, is that you would get glory out of our lives, Lord. That's our desire. For we just want to see you glorified and other people come to know the goodness that we have so been so honored to know in you by your mercy. God, I thank you. Bless everyone in this house and use them for your glory. Open us up to new things, God. Let our heart be open to new revelations of you and opportunities in you, God. And we just give you praise and thanks and bless you, my King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I praise you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy, King of Kings. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You are good. You are good, oh God. You are good. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. You are the spring of living water. Lord, you are life to our flesh and our bones. I thank you, Jesus. Make yourself real in such a powerful way. In such a powerful way. Blessed be the name of Jesus. For Father, as we sing, you're more real. You're more real, Lord, than anything we've ever known. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Is a wonderful God. I just feel his presence here, so sweet, so precious, powerful, comforting. I feel safe in his presence. You understand what I'm talking about? I feel safe in his presence. I've got a lot of unanswered questions tonight as I stand here before you for my own personal life. But in his presence, I feel safe. And in his word, I feel safe. Because I know his word cannot fail. And I know that God is not a man, as I prayed earlier, that he would lie or change his mind about his purpose for his children who love him and walk in faith toward his decrees and his commands. I went out to lunch with a few people this morning. I see Tino Gonzalez back there. He was one of those people. And over the summer, a lot of you know that we went out on a summer feeding program in which we went into the Las Vegas Trail area and God had provided some food for us to be able to feed children, and we went out and fed. And in one of those trips out there, God led us to an apartment in which there was a young teenager, and I've told y'all about this. His name is Devin, but there was a young teenager there who had been in an automobile accident and was crippled and could not speak. And a few weeks ago, we talked on a Sunday morning about the fact that one of our pursuers that runs with us when we pursue God, one of them is laying hands on the sick and they will recover. You remember that? And when we went in there and prayed, the grandmother wanted us to come in and pray for her grandson. We went in and prayed, and I was all hyped up to see a miracle that day. I mean, I wanted to see an instantaneous something happen, but I've learned that God will do things his own way, and I've also learned that if you don't see something, that doesn't necessarily mean nothing is happening. You understand what I mean? And so we prayed for him, and didn't see anything happen. He couldn't say anything to us that day. He just kind of gave us a thumbs up. Well, I never could get back with him because every time that I went back to see him over the next few weeks, they were gone when I would knock on the door. But today, Tino and a few of us went out and had lunch with the lady that manages the apartment complex where they live. And I just want to tell you how powerful God is, how good God is. We were just casually talking about the need at the apartment complex because the apartment manager wants us as a church to come and minister there at the apartment complex. She's going to open up the the center there, the clubhouse and all of that, for us to be able to come in and feed the families there, and then after we feed them, to be able to minister to them with Bible studies and outreach and things like that. So it's a door that God's opened. But in the course of the conversation, the lady brought up this young man. And I said, oh, really? Because I heard it, and I knew who he was, and I asked her, I said, when was the last time you've seen him? Because I haven't been able to see him. You know, every time I went, he wasn't there. She said, well, I saw him, I believe she might have said yesterday or today, or I can't remember, but it was just recently. And she said, I talked to him. I thought, okay, and you talked to him. I said, you talked to him? She said, yeah, and he's talking. And she also said, that he's walking again. He's baby stepping it, but he's walking. And you know, and as I heard that, I thought, God, that is an amazing thing that you do. Your word never fails, and God is a powerful God. And so this young man that could not talk when we were there and could not walk is now walking and talking to the glory of God. Now, she said, he has other needs. He needs to be ministered to. And so, you know, that's one of the things that we believe we're going to go back to. And now his body's been touched, and we believe we're going to be able to go back and minister to the soul now and see him get the ultimate healing, which is to know Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But I just want to tell you, you serve a mighty God. He is an awesome God and a powerful one. And you just walk in faith and trust in him, and you will see him do mighty things. This evening, as I was, well, not this evening, but actually this week, as I was praying over tonight, I felt like the Lord laid a passage of Scripture on my heart to share with you. And then I believe at the end we're going to pray again, okay, about something else that pertains to this passage of Scripture. But if you have your Bible, turn to the book of John, chapter 14. Book of John, chapter 14. We're going to read a passage of Scripture tonight that's most often read at a funeral. And this is certainly not a funeral here tonight. It's read at funerals most often to give people a perspective on the reality of the future for the believer. Because funerals are times of pain, and rightfully so. Funerals are times of grieving, and I certainly understand that. But when a believer comes to the point of death, we also have promises from God that are so sure and very sure about the believer's future. And that the believer has not died, they have not vanished, they have not ceased to exist, but are very much alive with their Savior. And these passages that here seem to encourage people when they're at that point of having lost a loved one are scriptures that speak to us as well as we walk through life and go through the ups and downs of life. And I felt like the Lord has been saying to me tonight that I need to encourage you with these words, that he wants to encourage you with these words. So at John chapter 14, we're going to read about four verses here, and then I'm just going to make a few comments on it. John 14, 1, it starts off saying this, let not your heart be troubled. How many of you have don't raise your hand, but how many of you have a troubled heart? And this is Jesus talking. This is in the red. And Jesus is talking to his disciples and giving them direction in the midst of some unsettling circumstances. At that present time right there, everything seemed okay. Everything seemed settled to a degree. But the Lord is giving them some direction. He is saying, you need to be a people whose heart is not easily troubled. Because I am with you. Because I am working in your life. And we'll see in a minute here too, in just a second, why Peter told them, let not your heart be troubled. There was actually a reason. I mean, did I say Peter? Jesus why Jesus said these words. There was a reason why he shared them, because he had just shared some other revelation with them that had brought some turmoil into their lives. But he said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And not just do you know where I'm going, but you know the way to where I'm going, is what Jesus is saying. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've told y'all this before. I'm a little bit of an HGTV slave. My daughter and my wife love to watch Home and Garden television. I don't mind watching it for a while, but after about 15 episodes in a row of Home and Garden TV, I begin to get a little tired of it. But they could watch it all day. I mean, literally, I mean, we don't watch that much TV, but you understand what I'm saying. I mean, they could leave it on that channel and never turn it. And so I'm a little bit, that's why I call myself a slave to it. It's not willingly that I stay on there all the time. But they love to watch it. And at a certain time each year, HGTV builds what they call a dream home. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever seen that? They build this wonderful, wonderful home with all of the bells and whistles. It's just a large, very, very beautiful home in some type of gorgeous location or a wonderful location. And after that's done, a drawing is held, and this home is given away to one lucky winner, I might say. I guess if they're lucky, I don't know. Once they get the tax bill later or all that, I don't know what happens. But it's given away to one person, and I know my daughter applies and applies and applies, and I always tell her, so what are you going to do when you get that house? I mean, you know, are you going to sell it? Are you going to move to it? You know, because they're usually in Vermont. I mean, they built one in Vermont. They built one out in New Mexico or Arizona or somewhere, and they built one on an island off of Georgia. And they're beautiful places and beautiful homes, but you know, my daughter always gets fired up, and when it gets dream home time, she talks about that a lot. But in these passages of Scripture that we just read, Jesus speaks of a home that he's preparing for his kids. And tonight, I just want to take a little bit of a look at what Jesus is saying when he begins to introduce us a little bit to what's coming and what he's preparing for us. Now, it's important to realize when you're studying passages of Scripture, any passage of Scripture in the Bible, that the Bible was not written with chapter breaks and verse breaks, like we have here, with numbered chapters and numbered verses. Those things were put in later, were added later when the Bible was compiled to make it easier for the reader to find specific things that they were looking for, made the Bible a little bit more user-friendly. You understand what I mean? But it wasn't originally written that way. And in this passage that we just read, Jesus is not just telling his disciples about his future intentions, but he's also responding to something that Peter had just said. Okay, so we need to back up a little bit to chapter 13 in verses 37 and 38. Well, actually, let's go to verse 36. And Simon Peter said to him, Jesus, Lord, where are you going? Because Jesus had been talking about him leaving. And Peter says, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him and said, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. And Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus answered him
And he said, will you lay down your life for my sake? He said, most assuredly I say to you, the rooster shall not crow until you have denied me three times. Now this is a conversation that is preceding the one that we read in John 14:1. Okay, so you can imagine that when that Jesus' statement to Peter and the revelation that he gave to Peter had to be shocking to him. You know what I mean? Because he had just told Jesus, he said, I'm willing to lay down my life for you if need be. If that's what it takes to be able to go with you, I will do that. And I don't believe that Peter was just blowing smoke when he said that. I don't believe he was trying to look good in front of the other disciples. He might have been. But I believe Peter meant it when he said that. I believe that he thought that he was at the place in his walk with the Lord that he could actually fulfill what he said he could do. That he could follow Jesus to whatever end that took them to. But you know, I have come to understand something, is that many of us believe we're at a specific place in our walk with God sometimes only to realize that we're not where we thought we were. And I don't mean in security of salvation. I'm just talking about in maturity levels. God is really the only one that knows where we really are, maturity-wise. And so we have to keep our lives open to God's input to help us to understand where we really are. I've had seasons in my life where I actually thought I was past something. I can remember right before I was first born again, I began to have a lot of anxiety attacks and panic attacks right before I was born again. And I mean, if you've never had one of those things, they're fun. I don't mean that in the right way. They are not fun. And some people have those things. They might have one a week or something like that. I wasn't that lucky. I was having multiple times during the day, all week long, da-da-da-da-da. And it got to the place to where God used that in my life to bring me to a breaking point. I wish I would have had a little softer heart and would have come when he was wooing me and drawing me and talking to me and drawing me in, instead of being so hard-headed that I came to the place that for me to be able to come in, my whole world had to pretty much collapse out from under me. And I went through that, and through that process, though, thank God, I came to the Lord through that. But after I was born again, I still had those wonderful attacks for about a year after I was born again, before the Lord broke them off of me. And I walked through a season of time, 7 years in my life, where I never had another one. And it was wonderful, awesome, great. And then I came to a season in my life where some pressure started to get on me, and some things began to happen that I didn't understand. And the next thing I knew, one day I was driving along, just in the car driving, and wham. There they came, back again. Believer, saved, thought I was past that, never thought that would happen again. And I prayed against it, I rebuked it, I tried to do what I had done before, and brothers and sisters, it just didn't break off. 5 years, I went through that. Fun 5 years, walking with the Lord. And I really had thought that I had moved beyond that place. And I'm not trying to scare anybody tonight at all. But I'm just trying to say that we've got to be open to God, because he's the one who knows where we really are. And the second time that I went through those things, I began to deal with some stuff that I had never dealt with underlying that were causing some of those things to happen. And so I thought I was past it. I thought I had grown to that place. But God, I'm not saying he caused those things to come on me. He didn't. But I'm his child, okay, and everything that happens in my life passes through his hands, and I have to be in agreement with him in my free will. And there were just areas in my life I wasn't agreeing with him like I really needed to be. I wasn't in agreement with him. And so I walked through this process again. And the very first thing that I was extremely disappointed when those things happened again. But God began to heal me and restore me and touch me and brought me out of that. And I am so thankful to him for that. But Peter, that's a terrible illustration to try to relate to what Peter's going through. Peter was at the place, he was at one place with the Lord, and the Lord could see into his life, or he thought he was at one place. You understand what I'm saying? Peter thought he was at one place with God in maturity, not in salvation, but in maturity, and the Lord could look into his life and see he wasn't there where he thought he was. And the Lord began to speak into his life and began to show him where he really was and began to speak to him about the future. And so you can understand that when God began to do this, can you imagine how Peter felt when Jesus began to say, you know, not only are you not at that place, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows tonight. And I can just imagine that that had to be devastating for Peter. Now, can you put yourself in Peter's place and see what you may have been feeling at that point in time of that revelation? But our God is so good. Because the very next words that Jesus said, he looks at him, and here's Peter, crestfallen, hurt, I'm sure, disappointed, confused. Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Let not your heart be troubled." I don't know about you, but that blesses me. That blesses me. Because Jesus is saying, let not your heart be troubled. He's saying, this isn't about you and your failures. This is about me and my successes. This is about me and what I'm going to do. And he said, I'm the anchor for your soul. And he said, I am determined to see you all the way through. And I will take you places you cannot go on your own. And not only did Jesus tell Peter that here in John 14, he tells him that again in John chapter 20, I believe it is. Where he starts talking to him at the seashore after Jesus has been raised from the dead. And he says, one of these days you're going to be able to do. It's your destiny to actually walk through what you said you could do not very long ago. And so it just blesses me that God is looking at Peter during Peter's tough time. And I think there are people in here and people among us that are going through a very difficult time. They've been disappointed and even have some disappointment in themselves and maybe in the twist or turn that God's plan has taken for their life, an unforeseen twist or turn. Because the things that Jesus is talking to them about here before he's crucified are really not, I don't really think it's the direction that the disciples thought things were going to go. I really don't. I thought they saw Jesus just progressively being accepted more and more by the people and moving forward in that type of revelation. And then the next thing you know, they were all going to be taking over as the Messiah of Israel, and they were going to be his right-hand men, ruling with him. But Jesus began to give them revelation. He said, that's not the pathway that we're on. We're on a pathway to a cross. I'm on a pathway to a cross. And you're on a pathway through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, but do not fear, I'll be with you, and I'm there with you, and I'll meet you on the other side, alive, the victorious king, overcoming everything that will ever come against you, the greatest foe you'll ever face in your life. And so, for you tonight, no matter what's going on in your life, I just want you to hear the Lord, see him looking at you and saying, let not your heart be troubled. Look at your neighbor and say, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe in Jesus. Trust him with all of your heart. Now, Jesus is telling his disciples, don't let your hearts be easily manipulated. And he told them, don't allow fear to trouble your heart. And when he's talking about trouble, when he's talking about a troubled heart, he's talking about a heart that shakes to and fro, or a heart that's agitated, like an agitator in a washer and dryer, just, you know, shakes. And one of the things that this means as well that I really like is, he says, don't let your heart be set in a motion or going in a direction when it needs to remain still. Don't let it be agitated when it needs to be at rest. I don't want you to respond, but how many of you, your heart's agitated when it needs to be at rest, trusting in God? I've got some things going on in my life right now that I need answers to. And my first inclination is to allow my heart to get agitated and troubled and start shaking. Anybody else relate to that? And there just seems to be something about me that says if you whine to God enough, he'll take pity on you. I don't know why how I got this in me. I think I got it because of my interaction with my parents. If you whine enough to God, he'll take pity upon you and will help you. And I don't know if that's where some of you get mad at God. You start shutting him out of your life. You think, I'll just shut him out of my life, get angry at him, give him the silent treatment, and he'll start getting insecure and afraid, and then he'll respond. Well, let me tell you what, neither one of those approaches is going to work. Okay, because God's not insecure, and so you're trying to make him insecure is not going to work. And to move him by pity is not going to work as well, because he's moved by faith and trust in him. Okay, especially when you get to a certain point in your walk with God. He starts moving you from being a baby where you cry, and he responds, and he's building a foundation of trust in you. But at some point in time, he'll stop doing that, and he'll get to the place where he starts leading you to a more mature walk, where instead of going, oh God, help me, God, help me, you start saying, I believe him. I believe him. I don't understand what's going on, but I know my God. And I'm just going to trust him and believe him. Anybody else going to that place other than me? Okay, let's see that again. Anybody else going to that place other than me? Thank God I'm not on the road that place by myself. That always makes me feel better. And so I'm going through some things right now, and the natural inclination of the flesh, you know, is to let your heart be troubled. And God is telling me, I hear the Spirit inside of me saying, believe. Don't be afraid, only believe. Just like when the word that Jesus gave the man whose daughter had died, not sick, died, okay? And there he's walking to help that man, and they bring back the word that she has passed. Don't trouble Jesus anymore. Don't worry about it. All hope is gone. Anybody in a situation where you feel like hope is gone, or you know somebody? And Jesus looks at him and says, do not be afraid, only believe. Believe what? She's dead. You know what I'm saying? And Jesus is looking at me and at you saying, do not be afraid. Everybody say, don't be afraid. Only believe. And the world screams at you and says, you fool. You fool. You fool. You denier of reality. You idiot. You are so stupid. You're going to be hung out there to dry, and you're going to be disappointed. I don't know about you, but I hear those voices at times. And so how are you going to walk past those voices when they speak to you? How are you going to continue to believe in spite of that? You're going to have to make a decision who you're hooking your wagon to. And I'd rather be a fool for Christ than famous in the eyes of the world. And Jesus, you've done so much for me. It doesn't matter what pathway you decide to take me down. If the ship floats, we'll float. If the ship goes down, I'll go down with the ship. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's basically what Job was saying, right? And when you get that kind of faith, you're not waiting for the victory. You've already won it, as we were talking about the other day. You're in victory right then. The enemy has lost the last bit of power over you, really, that he can exert. I'm not saying he'll stop his attack. I'm just saying that, what's he going to do with you? If you choose to love the Lord and believe, what's he going to do with you? And so that's how you maintain in the face of those voices and in the face of impossible situations and circumstances, okay? So As I said, the road was taking a turn with Jesus that the apostles didn't foresee. And that's very common in our walk with Christ. How many of you, God has taken you a place? You thought you were going one way. You thought things were going to happen a certain way, and they ended up taking another turn. Anybody? Ah, I got some true followers of the Lord then. All right. The disciples didn't foresee Jesus leaving them. I don't think they thought he was going to. But Jesus knew it was necessary for him to go, for his glory and for their empowerment and salvation, and for yours and mine. And since they had a wrong view of the plan, Jesus began to unfold to them the plan of what, of how it was really going to happen. Now, Jesus knew, and we must come to understand, that seeing the whole picture is not as important as trusting the Lord. Seeing the whole picture is not as important as trusting the Lord. I wish we could see the whole picture sometimes. It wouldn't help us if we could. We'd still be able to goof it up somehow. Even if we knew exactly how we were supposed to go, we'd argue with God about it. Right? We'd say, that's not the right way. This is the right way. So God doesn't share all that with us, and he's not obligated to do that. Anybody learn that yet? You can demand all you want to. He's the Lord. You're the servant. Servants don't make demands. Now, the Lord, you are his child as well, and he will take you into his confidence about many things. And you say, well, Pastor, the Bible says the Lord does nothing without revealing it to his prophets. Well, yeah, he'll show them the end result of a lot of things, but a lot of times he won't show you the pathway of what it's going to take to get there. Because if he did, you'd go, no way. I'm not doing that. You know, let's fast and pray for another solution. Our faith is not in the pathway. Our faith is in the way. And who is the way? Jesus. Right? So our faith's not in the way. Our faith's in the way. Very seldom has he taken me to a destination the way that I thought we were going to get there. I don't know if there's ever been a time that that has happened in my life. And so you're going to have to get to the place to where your faith is not based on you knowing the plan. Well, if I know how it's all going to transpire, then I can have faith in it. Well, you're going to have a rocky walk with Christ if that's the way you are. All right, you're going to have to get to the place. You say, well, you got to have faith in something. I agree. So what are you going to have faith in if you're not going to know how you're going to get there? You're going to have faith in the director, right? That's not good enough for me. We'll find out why it's not good enough for you. Because you don't trust him if that's the way you are. And it's probably based upon the fact that you've been hurt by other people, that you need to, some things you need to release and let go of. Because God's never let us down. And so he may take us a different pathway than what we thought. Or maybe we had some grandiose ideas about how God does things that we have found out are not true. But he never fails us. Okay? That's the only revelation you need to know. The only thing you need to know is make it through is you have your trust in the way. Now, what's the future of every true disciple of Christ? Jesus tells us that he's going to his Father's house to prepare a place for us. Now, that moves me. Some translations call the place Jesus is preparing for us rooms. Some translations call them dwelling places. And some translations call them mansions. How many of you like that one the best? Now, I thought so. Well, actually, that word's kind of an interesting word. It's only used twice in the New Testament, and Jesus uses it both times. And it's kind of difficult to know exactly what Jesus is saying, whether he's talking about the HGTV dream house, because I think that's what some of us envision or imagine that God is preparing for us. But the other place that Jesus uses this word is just down in John 14 a little bit, in verse 23. Jesus says this, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him. It's the same word there when he says, in my Father's house are many rooms, many places. And you know, I don't know about you, and I don't know what this place is going to look like, but you know what's going to make it really fantastic? Is Jesus, God, the Father, the Holy Spirit, everybody's going to be present there. Isn't that awesome? Now, I do want to tell you one more thing about it. That word there, home, dwelling place, mansion, also carries with it the connotation of having a home that's prepared with you in mind. Okay, so God's not building track homes in heaven. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I don't really think that's what he's doing. I don't think we would care if that's what he's doing, but I don't think that's what the language here and what Jesus is saying is what's happening. I don't think Jesus is making cookie cutter homes in heaven for us. I believe that he's saying, I'm going to prepare a place and I'm thinking about you when I'm making it. I made you, and I know where you're going to feel at home. And I'm creating. I know Harley's got to have a fishing hole somewhere close to his place. You know, where they bite every time when he throws it out. But he's thinking about you. What does that mean? I don't know, but he is. He's thinking about you when he's making a place for you. He goes, I know my son. And I'm going to build a house that he's going to feel right at home in. But the most important thing to me is Jesus is going to be there. And he said, I'm going to come and I'm going to tabernacle with you. Man, we're going to be there at home with each other. I'm going to be your roommate. Isn't that good? That's going to make it good no matter what it looks like. But Jesus, what else is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying one more thing that I want to bring home to you. This word also carries the connotation with it that it'll be a home that you will move into, you will never leave. Okay, maybe it'll update itself ever so often. I don't, you know what I mean? It's like, whoa, it just has an extreme makeover ever so often. But I don't know. Maybe we won't get tired like we do now. I don't know. But it's going to be a place you're going to move into. It's going to be your home forever. And you're going to be happy there because it's going to be created with you in mind. But the main thing that you're going to be pulling your happiness on is your treasure is going to be there living with you, dwelling with you, spending time with you. You're going to be doing things, kingdom things there with him. And that's going to be awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, one more thing I want to say about this, and then I'm pretty well done here, and then we're going to pray. Now, you got to remember, these disciples had been walking with this Jesus for 3 years, about 3 years at this point in time. They knew him. They had come to know him a little bit. And they knew that he was someone who told them the truth. He would tell them a lot of times before he said something. You know, verily, verily. We see in the New in the King James, but really what Jesus is saying in the translations, I tell you the truth. Okay, so he was a man that told them the truth, and they understood that. And Jesus gave his guarantee to his disciples that what he was telling them about their future home and him preparing the place and him returning back to take them to himself was the truth. He said these powerful words that I love. He said, if this were not so, I would have told you. Jesus is saying to us, if all this were a pipe dream, I would have been the one that would have told you. If this life was all there was, and this was the only hope that we have is in this life alone, I would have been the one that would have told you. I would have told you that. You would have heard that from me first. I would have been the one. But he said to us, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I do that, then you will know that I will come back and I will take you to be with me, and where I am, there you will be also. And he said, you're never going to get lost and you're never going to lose your way because I am the way there. You don't need a road map. All you need is me and my word, and I will guide you there. If heaven is a lie, then salvation's a lie. And I know there's a lot of people, they say they believe in Christ, but they don't believe in heaven or hell or this. A lot of people believe in heaven. They just don't believe in hell. Then they don't want to believe in hell because they're afraid they may go there. They may fail the test and end up heading that direction. But if heaven's a lie, then salvation's a lie. Same Jesus told us the assurity of both. If heaven is a lie, salvation's a lie, then we're in trouble. But listen, the same Jesus that told us about heaven also told us about what? Hell. Right? So if hell's a lie, heaven's a lie. If hell's a lie, salvation's a lie. How can we believe anything if any of that's not true? A lot of people like to pick and choose what they believe, the things that Jesus said. I like these things. I like that you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Man, that's just a good thing. That's in movies all the time, you know. Well, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, what about the other things that he said that are just as true and real? But I just want you to know tonight, let not your heart be troubled. No matter what's going on and no matter what you're facing, put your faith not in what you can see and what you can experience and even your revelation of what needs to happen. Put your faith in him and his character. Trust him to lead you there. For those who are doing this, there's a place prepared with them in mind. And we're all heading that direction. And whatever promises God has made to you, he will see that they'll be fulfilled in your life. Now, I just want to take a little bit of time here to pray. If you're having a hard time with your heart being troubled about something recently, something that's going on in your life, I don't know, then let's just pray about it, okay? And let's get our peace back. Let's go back, and let me say it this way. Let's go back and start drawing our peace from him, all right, and not trying to be able to figure out the pathway or figure out the process or figure out the answer. Okay? How many of you would say, man, I'm going through a situation where my heart's a little bit troubled right now? Anybody? All right. Okay. Well, then let's just pray. Let's go to God. And what I want you to do is, as you're carrying that, I want you to take that situation, take you and just present it before God. All right? And I want you to say, Lord, I just talk to him in this way. Just say, Lord, I am been troubled because I want to be able to figure this out, how this is going to work, what are you going to do? And Lord, I'm going to put my faith, rather than trying to figure out if you love me, if you're trustworthy, if I'm a good candidate for you to move upon, or how these things are going to work, I'm going to put my faith in you, in Jesus. I'm going to get my eyes off of myself. And I'm going to put my eyes back upon you, the way. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. Let's just call out to him. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, I think every person in this world faces situations and circumstances in which their heart is tempted to be troubled. We live in times where all we have to do is watch the TV. And it's very easy to get a troubled heart about what's going on. And Lord, there's a difference between having a concerned heart, a heart that's moved to prayer, and having a fearful heart, one that's afraid. And Lord, we want to bring our fearful heart before you tonight. And Lord, I want to ask you to forgive me. No change comes till we repent. I want to ask you to forgive me, Lord, for putting my faith in my own understanding rather than in your character. I'll just talk to him. Father, I'm sorry that I've done that. That's so easy for me to do. I have a leaning toward that direction. It's easy for me to fall into a pattern, Lord, of wanting to know how things are going to happen and needing to know answers rather than putting my faith and trusting you as the way. So, Lord, please forgive me for that. I'm sorry, Lord Jesus, for the times that I've done that. And Father, today I choose to believe you. I choose to take myself and my problems out of the center of my life and put you back at the center. So let's do that. Father, I repent of this, and I'm taking me and my problems out of the center of my life and I'm putting you at the center. And Lord, when I put you back at the center, then I'm able to see you for who you really are. I'm not seeing you through a fog anymore. I'm seeing you clearly, oh God. And when I can see you clearly, my fears begin to melt away, because you are the King of Kings. You're the all-powerful, all-knowing God. And I praise you. I thank you. I put my faith in you. I go back to living to honor you rather than to see my problems solved. I give you praise. I trust that you are agape love and that you are working to meet my need. But my need, I will not exalt my need above you. I trust you, Father. I give you praise. I cling to you. I put my faith in your word. And so, Father, this evening, I speak peace over myself and my brothers and sisters in this place tonight. I speak peace over us. The peace that passes understanding. It passes understanding because it exists in the very presence of unsolved situations. But God, there's one thing that is settled inside of me, and that's my faith in God. Maybe my situations haven't all settled down yet, but one thing is settled, and that's where I draw my peace from, and that's your love for me and my desire to follow you and be your child. And I thank you, and in that I have peace. Father, I know I'm not perfect. I know that I have things in my life that need to be worked on. And I also don't exalt those areas above you. I trust you to work on me and to change me. This is not even about my change. It's not about the change of my circumstances or my change. This is about you and your glory. So, Lord, I trust you with me. I know you know exactly what to do in my life to mold me and make me after your image. And Lord, if you do speak to me, and I know you will at times, and you will tell me things that I need to let go of in my life, then I'm going to trust you in those areas. Even if it's painful to let go of them, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to believe you. Because I know you would never tell me to do anything that's not ultimately for my good and for your glory. I know if I have to let go of some things, they may hurt. But I still trust you, even in the midst of the pain of letting them go, because I know you are my God that gave his life for me. And Lord, I put my faith in that love and in your power. So Lord, on this evening, I rest in hope, which hope in a biblical framework is not some type of just frantic desire, some type of frantic dream, but hope in a biblical sense means confident assurance. I rest in a confident assurance while I'm waiting that my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could even ask or think in my life. And Lord, I know that's one of the reasons why you don't tell me the pathway. Because Lord, it's exceedingly abundantly above all I could think or ask. And Lord, it wouldn't even compute to me. And so God, I trust you and I believe you. I thank you for ministering to me tonight and freeing me from a troubled heart and anxiety. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But in all things, just as we talked about last Wednesday night, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we make our requests known to God. And Lord, we draw our peace from your love for us and your desire to work in our lives. And we give you praise, O great shepherd of the sheep. I honor you and worship you. Let's just praise him for a second. Father, we thank you. Lord, I trust you even with the things I have no control over in my life. I believe you do have control over them. And Lord, I trust you. I'm not going to fear about the people in my life. And Lord, because there are some people in here that have fear over people in their lives and are scared about what's going to happen to certain people. And Lord, we're going to have to draw our peace from you. We repent of being fearful. And Lord, we just choose to believe you. Let's just choose to believe him. Let's not be afraid. Did you know God loves the people in your life more than you do? He loves them more than you do. So why couldn't you trust him with those people? Father, I trust you with them. And Lord, I know that you know exactly how to reach the people that are in my life. You know how to reach them. Help me to flow with your spirit and have peace. Even when they're squealing, help me to trust you. And Father, I thank you that in this world of rapid responses, that you're still a God who does things as a master builder. And I'm going to have to get used to the fact that you do some things instantaneously, but you don't operate always at the world's pace. And so, Father, I'm going to have peace, and my hope's going to rest in you. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord Jesus. And having done everything that I know what to do, I'll make my stand. I'll make my stand on your word. And I give you praise, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Let's just worship him for a second. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. Your word cannot fail. It cannot fail. Father, I thank you that your love cannot fail. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. So, Lord, I give you praise, honor, and thanks. And I go back to my original purpose, which is not worrying. But my original purpose is to draw life from you and glorify you and worship you. And I give you praise and thanks and honor in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for moving over everybody's life tonight. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. 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 You know, just as before we get ready to go, I had a problem. I've had a problem here recently that I've been dealing with. Actually, the problem's not so much mine as it's somebody else in my circle, but they're trying to make it my problem. you understand? And the enemy is real good about attacking me in an area, you know, trying to tell me I'm not doing a good job in this certain area with this certain person. When I was on my way down here tonight, the Lord spoke to me when I was driving here, and he just told me, you still are learning to trust me with this person's life. And he said, you're going to have to know that I know what I'm doing. You're going to have to put your faith in that, because I was scrambling to try to find an answer that would appease this person. Anybody else know what I'm understanding? They were asking something of me, and I was trying to scramble to, because I love them, and I'm invested in their success, and I was scrambling, and they're freaking out, and they're going, oh my God, what's going to happen? And if this doesn't come to pass, if it doesn't work this way. And I was sitting there scrambling, trying to find an answer, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you're going to have to learn to trust me in this situation. And learning to trust him means no matter how much somebody else squeals because they don't like the way the pathway's going, I have to find peace in God when they're not. And trust God that he is working in their life to bring them to a face-to-face realization of who he is. You understand what I'm saying? And so, I've got to get me out of the middle of that thing. Because when I get me, I'm not doing a good job. Because, you know, if I were a really good whatever, I would be meeting this need. And I just don't have the resources to do it. I really don't. I mean, that's practical. And I've been asking God to give me the resources, and up to this point, they haven't appeared. And so the Lord's speaking to me, and he says, you're just going to have to trust me, and you're going to have to get yourself out of the middle of this thing and let me deal with it. And so I just want to throw that word. I'm going through it too, okay? I want to throw that out to you and let you know, get yourself out of the middle. Stop making this about how good of a whatever you are or how bad of a whatever you are. And let this be about Christ and him taking control of this situation and letting him manage it, okay? He will not fail you. His way may not be your way, but he will not fail you. It will end up being the best way to deal with the situation, all right? Well, listen, we love you guys, as we really do. This weekend, oh, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a great time this weekend. I already can feel it in the spirit. I pray that you guys are blessed all week long. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't put you or your problems or your personal growth in the center of your relationship with God. Keep him at the center. Okay, and if you do that, you'll be a lot happier. Immediately when we get at the center of something, our happiness, our peace and joy and all that stuff starts going. You know, we got to keep him at the center. Y'all love on each other and have a great week, and we'll see you later in the week. God bless you.